Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
One of my favorite times of the week when we bring on the, and I stress that, the Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and we'll be doing Rams Weekly today as well, coming up at 5 o'clock. Kevin, what's going on, my friend?
Another great fall week in Colorado, huh?
It's looking gorgeous, and it looks like it's going to be gorgeous on Saturday, man. That's going to be great with Ag Day coming up.
Perfect setup for the Ag Day and barbecue and all that. You know, I think CSU fans are excited. Ag Day is always fun regardless. Good weather. Should be a great crowd, good atmosphere. Kind of just a happy day on campus around the CSU football team. And, you know, that's not a thing that's happened a ton in the last, you know, several years. So a lot of smiles around Fort Collins right now.
What do you think the turnout's going to be like on Saturday as the Rams get set to take on the Utah Tech Water Buffaloes or Thunderbirds? I don't know whatever they are. I don't know what they are. So I guess that's to my point. What's the turnout going to be like for this game?
Now, I think it'll be over 30,000. Ag Day pretty much always draws well, kind of regardless of how CSU is doing, generally how the opponent is, because oftentimes it is an FCS type of team. And then you combine, you know, I think fans are actually starting to feel excited about this team. So I think it'll be a good turnout. You know, the weather and good kick time factors in as well. So yeah, I think it should be a really good crowd.
When you start to talk about like a handful of guys that people are really getting behind, you know, the fanfare is there. That's when you kind of know that this team might be able to go on and make something of the season, plus the fact that you look at Washington State, and they're turning out to be a really good football team. You pair all that stuff in, people are excited about Braden Fowler-Nicolosi. They're excited about, obviously, Dallin Holker and Torrey Horton. On the defensive side, you put together a great piece about Mo Kamara. That's when you kind of know, okay, this is a good football team. We have four or five really good football players on this team.
Yeah, exactly. That's always a great sign when, you know, honestly, if you were to say who's the most popular player on the CSU football team, you know, a few years ago it was like Ryan Stonehouse by default because he was actually good and a fun person and there wasn't competition. Whereas now there is. You have a lot of good personalities, you know, a number of quite good players. So yeah, I think that's a great sign of kind of the direction the program seems to be pointing right now is, you know, we could gather 50 fans and ask who their favorite is, and we'd probably have, you know, five different answers with, you know, pretty even spread on votes.
Well, and two guys specifically on the offensive side, Dallin Holker and Torrey Horton. Torrey Horton probably is the better player, but Dallin Holker's got kind of the unique story there with his wife being a D1 athlete there at Colorado State. So he's getting a lot of play, and then the fake field goal, all that stuff. So I'm not sure who people would pick right off the top. Last year it was like, yeah, Torrey Horton is the guy. But you're starting to round up. Justice Ross Simmons is a fine player, too. You're starting to round up some of these good players where you could expect some different answers from fans.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously Jack Howell would get some votes, you know, things like that. There are a lot of different guys, and yeah, on offense particularly, you know, BFN right now has, I don't want to quite say the cult following, but the surge in excitement just because the quarterback play, you know, hasn't been great for a while, and so people are excited about him. Torrey Horton, like you say, probably has the highest NFL ceiling. Dallin Holker has made so many important plays so far. So yeah, it's quite a group to choose from, and, you know, obviously Mo Kamara on defense, you know, he was suspended for a half, has only played 2.5 games, and, you know, he's arguably been one of the best defensive players in all of college football.
Does Freddie Banks, does he consider, you know, not playing Mo in the first half, that way he has more energy and just comes out like a wild beast in the second half? Because that actually kind of worked out for CSU.
Yes, it's kind of funny. Last Wednesday, I asked Jay Norvell about that. I said, you know, I'm sure ideally you don't want Mo to be sitting for a half, but is there a way this could turn out, you know, to be a positive of you get a fresh and angry Mo for the second half, you know, to kind of help close the game? And lo and behold, a couple sacks, a touchdown, just a complete demon destroying that offense. It worked out that way. So, yeah, not how you draw it up, but it sure worked out well. I think CSU would like to pull a reverse this week, have Mo come out, have a couple sacks early in the game, be up 35 at halftime, and let Mo, you know, put on the sweatpants for the second half.
Talk to us about the running back situation, Kevin. I know you've been following this one closely, Avery Morrow and Kobe Johnson. It sounds like one guy's going to be out for a couple of weeks, and the other guy's maybe questionable coming into the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I guess if you're going to have, you know, big injury problems, this is the week to have it. But yeah, Avery Morrow is out a few weeks, Jay Norvell said. He said it's an MCL injury, which, you know, probably is good news. I think a lot of us were fearing that was, you know, a very significant injury. So Avery's definitely out this week. Kobe Johnson, Jay called him day-to-day. I would be stunned if Kobe Johnson plays this week. It may be one of those where he comes out in uniform but doesn't actually play unless they really need him. So, yeah, you're turning to an experience. Van Shield, the walk-on who kind of ran the running back room in spring for a variety of reasons, he'll probably start. And then the true freshman, Damian Henderson, will probably be behind him, I would think, get a decent number of carries.
Van Shield. I mean, we're talking about fanfare and guys you can get behind. I mean, Van Shield, a local guy, a Colorado guy. Does he still have the? I'm looking at a picture of him right now, a mustache. I mean, this is definitely a guy that you really want to explode, because talk about selling jerseys and stuff. Van Shield. That's the guy you want.
I mean, the name, the look, the story. It is really cool. He's a Highlands Ranch kid, started at CSU Pueblo, came to Fort Collins CSU, walked on, and like I say, it was a weird variety of circumstances, but he took advantage in the spring and really, you know, did well. You know, they probably hoped they wouldn't need him, but again, needs must, and he stepped up. Yeah, he's, you know, just kind of a tank of a player, you know, got the mop of curly hair. You know, there are pictures going around of him from, you know, CSU's internal media day and the cowboy hat and everything. So it really is just a fun story of a kid that, you know, like Jay Norvell said, you know, he'll just do anything for the team. And, you know, he probably isn't like the most straight up talented player you'll ever see, but sure does puts in every bit of work to be ready and be reliable. And he's going to get his chance, you know, on Ag Day. So pretty cool story.
Yeah, like you said, if you're going to rest some guys and maybe not force the issue with one of these running backs with Kobe Johnson, this might be the weekend to do it. Kevin, Jay Norvell, in his history, you tell me this, I don't know, with Nevada, did they do a lot of trick plays and stuff in Nevada? Because they're pulling them out this season so far.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, we've had more in the last two weeks than the first 13 games with Jay Norvell. I actually need to look back at the Nevada history. Obviously, they scored the ball really well. I'm not sure how often they pulled these out. But it's one of those things. One, it provides, you know, new weapons and things like that. But two, players get really engaged. It's so much fun for them to do these, you know, funky things. It almost helps break the monotony of the season. And when they succeed, it creates confidence. So, you know, I know they've been working on other ones in practice to bust out at some point. But yeah, it seems like that's going to be part of it. And again, we talked about this, you know, CU week, everyone was talking about the hat and glasses comment, but the one that actually mattered was when Jay was saying, you know, we're taking the training wheels off. We're unleashing it. And these trick plays are part of that. You know, they've kind of said, you know, we're all in. We're going to do whatever it takes to light up the scoreboard. And so far it's working. That, you know, the Giles Cooler to Dallin Holker play was almost a disaster, but it turned into a great play and really could have swung the game. So they're all in with this.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I keep going back to on that fake with Giles Pooler. It did, like, it just goes over the fingertips. Now, I'm watching it on ESPN Plus, Kevin, so, I mean, I'm at the mercy of, you know, the 12-year-old running the camera. But it goes right over these fingertips. And I actually think Dallin Holker's concentration on the football was the story of that play. Obviously, turning upfield, getting in the end zone was big. But a lot of times, receivers see that a ball's about to get knocked away. Maybe they blink. Maybe they lose some focus there. But I really, Dallin Holker, I mean, time and time again, has just proven that he's the real deal.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. The focus there. Because, yeah, I mean, one, it looks like Giles Pooler may be just sacked.
Yeah.
And then, two, when he does get the ball up, it looks like it could be deflected. And, you know, sometimes you can react too early and almost start to react to a potential tip or something like that. But, no, he stayed locked in. Ended up being a perfect throw from Pooler for his first career touchdown. Just a crazy play in a game that had a lot of weird stuff, to be honest. But that one really was hugely important. And funny thing with Dallin Holker, he has 4 touchdowns, which is incredible, in 3 games for a tight end. I remember a certain coach previously saying that, you know, you can't throw to touchdowns to a tight end because they're covered. But 3 different pass throwers have connected with Holker. He has 1 from Torrey Horton, 1 from Giles Pooler, and 2 from Braden Fowler-Nicolosi. So, you know, who's it going to be this week? I think I'm advocating for Van Shield to Dallin Holker touchdown pass.
Yeah, I just think that both of those guys are sensational. It'll be fun to see the touchdown race between Dallin Holker and Torrey Horton. Now, I had Jack Howell on his show on Tuesday, Kevin, and we were talking about Trey McBride and Dallin Holker. And obviously we know Trey McBride, second round pick, was sensational, was just on a bad team. But Jack was kind of the mindset that Trey's the more physical guy, obviously. He can block like crazy, but perhaps Dallin Holker's the better receiving tight end. Where do you come out on that?
Yeah, no, I'm with that. Yeah, I think Trey's maybe more well-rounded. Like you say, the physicality, certainly he was a ferocious blocker. But I remember Jack and I think some other defensive players, I think Aiden Hector maybe said it as well, early in camp, they said, you know, Dallin's a more refined route runner. You know, he runs really clean routes, catches the ball really well, good at boxing out. So, yeah, I think on that realm, you know, he might be a cleaner, route runner, pass catcher than Trey McBride, which, you know, again, is quite a statement. And what's really cool, those two seem to have struck up a relationship. I know they had talked in the offseason, and then there, you know, video going around from CSU of Trey McBride FaceTiming Dallin after the game Saturday. So pretty cool that, you know, Trey seems kind of all in on the Dallin Holker train as well.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And hey, I have a new idea, an idea here. Let's do rapid fire, Kevin, but it's going to be interesting about the star players on this team. So I'm not going to tell you what it is. Just be ready, okay?
Ooh, all right.
Okay, here we go. Rapid fire. I'm just going to give you a stud player for CSU, and you tell me which round, whenever they come out. You don't have to predict the year, which round they will be drafted in.
Ooh, that's a doozy. Let's go.
Yeah, we get creative here. Torrey Horton.
2.
Dallin Holker.
5.
Mo Kamara.
3-4.
Jack Howell?
Undrafted.
Who am I missing here?
Chiggy, maybe?
Okay, Chiggy.
I think he gets drafted. I'll give him a 6.
Okay, that sounds good. On all of those that you just mentioned, do you think there's like realistic potential for that stock to rise this season?
Yeah, let's see. You know, Torrey Horton, it's high, but I think it can and probably will continue to grow. Dallin, it's certainly growing right now. Chiggy's, that certainly can grow. You know, corner is so tough. Like, a lot of that comes down to measurables and stuff, and a lot is out of your hands, because if teams just throw away from you, you can't make that many plays on ball. But I think Chiggy's one that Hal, all those guys, that secondary, I think, needs to improve. So that also means chances for their stock to rise.
Yeah, and I mean, if you see a guy like Jack or Chiggy, either one of those guys come out, put together some games where they're making big plays, you know, getting an interception or taking it to the house or just a lot of shutdown plays, who knows, that could change quickly for those guys.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, like me saying Jack undrafted, I don't mean that as any knock on Jack. You know, the NFL sometimes gets overly obsessed with size metrics, and I think he might get hurt there. But, you know, that's a guy that finds the ball. And again, I think that secondary, partially they've played really good offenses, but I think they're going to get better and make more plays. So I would expect those guys to be looking, improved as the next 4 or 5 weeks carry on.
Kevin, you got a great write-up at the Coloradoan about Mo Kamara. What else are you cooking up that we can check out before game time on Saturday?
Yeah, definitely. It's always fun to talk to Mo Camara. He's an incredibly funny, insightful, snarky, smack-talking kid. Just a fun interview. So, yeah, that features up. I've got to look at game day, and I answer the question that you started with about who the heck is Utah Tech. So I answer that. And I'll have, you know, normally I do a keys to the game Saturday. I'm not really going to do that this week because CSU should roll out. But I'm going to do more of, you know, things, you know, we're looking for and we're, you know, hoping to learn this week, you know, such as, you know, if it's a blowout, who's the next quarterback? How is the running game spread out? Those type of things. So there's plenty that we can learn about this team this week.
Well, I'm looking forward to Rams Weekly coming up at 5, and we'll break into Rams coverage in a little more detail with you, Kevin. We'll talk to you soon, my man.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
11:50 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.